But you yourselves perfectly well know that to produce the possibility of the expression of such wishes by all the nations, it is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relations with their governments so as to utterly exhaust humanity with dissension, hatred, struggle, envy, and even by the use of torture, by starvation, by the inoculation of diseases, by want, so that the Goyim see no other issue than to take refuge in our complete sovereignty in money and in all else. But if we give the nations of the world a breathing space, the moment we long for is hardly likely ever to arrive. Yes, I would guess that you see a lot of realities breaking through form the fanciful manipulations of the intelligent and genius Goyim to the plight in which nations find themselves today. And a specific example is directly in view in the Philippines. This why we are moving through computer complications and hours of extra, and repeated, typing to get this into your hands that you might consider your positions, again. This was the transition period for the Plan 2000 and nobody said the recovery would be easy or safe. Anyone still want this job? How do the primroses smell as you struggle through these days of Satan? Protocol number 11. The State Council has been, as it were, the emphatic expression of the authority of the ruler. It will be, as the sure part of the legislative corps, what may be called the editorial committee of the laws and decrees of the ruler. This, then, is the program of the new constitution. We shall make law, right and justice, 1, in the guise of proposals to the legislative corps, 2, by decrees of the President under the guise of general regulations, of orders of the Senate and of resolutions of the State Council in the guise of ministerial orders, 3, and in case a suitable occasion should arise, in the form of a revolution in the State. Having established approximately the modus agendi, we will occupy ourselves with details of those combinations by which we have still to complete the revolution in the course of the machinery of state in the direction already indicated. By these combinations I mean the freedom of conscience, the voting principle, and many another that must disappear forever from the memory of man, or undergo a radical alteration the day after the promulgation of the new constitution. It is only at that moment that we shall be able at once to announce all our orders, for, afterwards, every noticeable alteration will be dangerous, for the following reasons: if this alteration be brought in with harsh severity and in a sense of severity and limitations, it may lead to a feeling of despair caused by fear of new alterations in the same direction. If, on the other hand, it be brought in a sense of further indulgences, it will be said that we have recognized our own wrongdoing, and this will destroy the prestige of the infallibility of our authority, or else it will be said that we have become alarmed and are compelled to show a yielding disposition, for which we shall get no thanks because it will be supposed to be compulsory. Both the one and the other are injurious to the prestige of the new constitution. What we want is that from the first moment of its promulgation, while the peoples of the world are still stunned by the accomplished fact of the revolution, still in a 37 condition of terror and uncertainty, they should recognize once for all that we are so strong, so inexpugnable, so superabundantly filled with power, that in no case shall we take any account of them, and so far from paying any attention to their opinions of wishes, we are ready and able to crush with irresistible power all expression or manifestation thereof at every moment and in every place, that we have seized at once everything we wanted and shall in no case divide our power with them. Then in fear and trembling they will close their eyes to everything, and be content to await what will be the end of it all. The Goyim are a flock of sheep, and we are their wolves. And you know what happens when the wolves get hold of the flock. There is another reason also why they will close their eyes, for we shall keep promising them to give back all the liberties we have taken away as soon as we have quelled the enemies of peace and tamed all parties. It is not worthwhile to say anything about how long a time they will be kept waiting for this return of their liberties. For what purpose then have we invented this whole policy and insinuated it into the minds of the Goyim without giving them any chance to examine its underlying meaning? For what, indeed, if not in order to obtain in a roundabout way what is for our scattered tribe unattainable by the direct road? It is this which has served as the basis for our organization of secret masonry which is not known to, and dames which are not even so much as suspected by, these goy cattle, attracted by U.S. into the show army of Masonic lodges in order to throw dust in the eyes of their fellows. God has granted to us, His chosen people, the gift of the dispersion, and in this which appears in all eyes to be our weakness, has come forth all our strength, which has now brought us to the threshold of sovereignty over all the world. There now remains not much more for us to build up upon the foundation we have laid. So inexpugnable, so superabundantly filled with power, that in no case shall we take any account of them, and so far from paying any attention to their opinions of wishes, we are ready and able to crush with irresistible power all expression or manifestation thereof at every moment and in every place, that we have seized at once everything we wanted and shall in no case divide our power with them. Then in fear and trembling they will close their eyes to everything, and be content to await what will be the end of it all. The Goyim are a flock of sheep, and we are their wolves. And you know what happens when the wolves get hold of the flock. There is another reason also why they will close their eyes, for we shall keep promising them to give back all the liberties we have taken away as soon as we have quelled the enemies of peace and tamed all parties. It is not worthwhile to say anything about how long a time they will be kept waiting for this return of their liberties. For what purpose then have we invented this whole policy and insinuated it into the minds of the Goyes without giving them any chance to examine its underlying meaning? For what, indeed, if not in order to obtain in a roundabout way what is for our scattered tribe unattainable by the direct road? It is this which has served as the basis for our organization of secret masonry which is not known to, and dames which are not even so much as suspected by, these goy cattle, attracted by U.S. into the show army of Masonic lodges in order to throw dust in the eyes of their fellows. God has granted to us, His chosen people, the gift of the dispersion, and in this which appears in all eyes to be our weakness, has come forth all our strength, which has now brought us to the threshold of sovereignty over all the world. There now remains not much more for us to build up upon the foundation we have laid. H. Please do not pass lightly over this particular protocol lest you fail to catch the point. To check this out, just sit a moment and see if you can find even one corner of the world where the infiltration of the One World Control is not already in place. Also look carefully at what controls you, energy supply, even at the gas pump, the electric supply, cooking, heating fuel, water and the actual quality of air you are given to breathe. The same controllers have the capability to manipulate everything you have and are. In Protocol 12 you will find their definition of freedom, so read it and weep, Protocol number 12. The word freedom, which can be interpreted in various ways, is defined by us as follows: freedom is the right to do that which the law allows. This interpretation of the word will at the proper time be of service to us, because all freedom will thus be in our hands, since the laws will abolish or create only that which is desirable for us according to the aforementioned program. We shall deal with the press in the following way. What is the part played by the press today? It serves to excite and inflame those passions which are needed for our purpose, or else it serves selfish ends of parties. It is often vapid, unjust, mendacious, and the majority of the public have not the slightest idea what ends the press really serves. We shall saddle and bridle it with tight curb. We shall do the same also with all productions of the printing press, for where would be the sense of getting rid of the attacks of the press if we remain targets for pamphlets and books? The produce of publicity, which nowadays is a source of heavy expense owing to the necessity of censoring it, will be turned by us into a very lucrative source of income to our state. We shall lay on it a special stamp tax and require deposits of caution money before permitting the establishment of any organ of the press or 38. Of printing office. These will then have to guarantee our government against any kind of attack on the part of the press. for any attempt to attack us, if such still be possible, we shall inflict fines without mercy. Such measures as stamp tax, deposit of caution money and fines secured by their deposits, will bring in a huge income to the government. It is true that party organs might not spare money for the sake of publicity, but these we shall shut up at the second attack upon us. No one shall with impunity lay a finger on the aureole of our government infallibility. The pretext for stopping any publication will be the alleged plea that it is agitating the public mind without occasion or justification. I beg you to note that among those making attacks upon us will also be organs established by us, but they will attack exclusively points that we have predetermined to alter. Attack on the part of the press. For any attempt to attack us, if such still be possible, we shall inflict fines without mercy. Such measures as stamp tax, deposit of caution money and fines secured by their deposits, will bring in a huge income to the government. It is true that party organs might not spare money for the sake of publicity, but these we shall shut up at the second attack upon us. No one shall with impunity lay a finger on the aureole of our government infallibility. The pretext for stopping any publication will be the alleged plea that it is agitating the public mind without occasion or justification. I beg you to note that among those making attacks upon us will also be organs established by us, but they will attack exclusively points that we have predetermined to alter. Not a single announcement will reach the public without our control. H. Face IT, readers. That is why we are not in competition with this group of manipulators. Truth only gives you an opportunity to make changes. Often your own perceptions, perspectives and attitudes. We can only offer a way and you must do what you will with IT, for that is the free will choice of man individual and sovereign. Even now this is already being attained by us inasmuch as news items are received by a few agencies, in whose offices they are focused from all parts of the world. These agencies will then be already entirely ours and will give publicity only to what we dictate to them. If already now we have contrived to possess ourselves of the minds of the Goy communities to such an extent that they all come near looking upon the events of the world through the colored glasses of those spectacles we are setting astride their noses, if already now there is not a single state where there exists for us any barriers to admittance into what Goy stupidity calls state secrets, what will our position be then, when we shall be acknowledged supreme lords of the world in the person of our king of all the world? Let us turn again to the future of the printing press. Everyone desirous of being a publisher, librarian, or printer, will be obliged to provide himself with the diploma instituted therefor, which, in case of any fault, will be immediately impounded. With such measure the instrument of thought will become an educative means in the hands of our government, which no longer allows the mass of the nation to be led astray in by ways and fantasies about the blessings of progress. Is there any one of us who does not know that these phantom blessings are the direct roads to foolish imaginings which give birth to anarchical relations of men among themselves and towards authority, because progress, or rather the idea of progress, has introduced the conception of every kind of emancipation, but has failed to establish its limits? All the so-called liberals are anarchists, if not in fact, at any rate in thought. Every one of them is hunting after phantoms of freedom, and falling exclusively into license, that is, into the anarchy of protest for the sake of protest. We turn to the periodical press. We shall impose on it, on all printed matter, stamp taxes per sheet and deposits of caution money, and books of less than 30 sheets will pay double. We shall reckon them as pamphlets in order, on the one hand, to reduce the number of magazines, which are the worst form of printed poison, and, on the other, in order that this measure may force writers into such lengthy productions that will be little read, especially as they will be costly. At the same time, what we shall publish ourselves to influence mental development in the direction laid down for our profit will be cheap and read voraciously. The tax will bring vapid literary ambitions with bounds and the liability to penalties will make literary men dependent upon us. And if there should be any found who are desirous of writing against us, they will not find any person eager to print their productions. Before accepting any production for publication in print, the publisher or printer will have to apply to the authorities for permission to do so. Thus we will know beforehand of all tricks preparing against us and shall nullify them by getting ahead with explanations on the subject treated of. 39. Literature and journalism are two of the most important educative forces, and therefore our government will become proprietor of the majority of the journals. This will neutralize the injurious influence of the privately owned press and will put us in possession of a tremendous influence upon the public mind. If we give permits for 10 journals, we shall ourselves found 30, and so on in the same proportion. This, however, must in no wise be suspected by the public. For which reason all journals published by us will be of the most opposite in appearance, tendencies and opinions, thereby creating confidence in us and bringing over to us our quite unsuspicious opponents, who will thus fall into our trap and be rendered harmless. In the front rank will stand organs of an official character. They will always stand guard over our interests, and therefore their influence will be comparatively insignificant. In the second rank will be the semi-official organs whose part it will be to attract the tepid and indifferent. In the third rank we shall set up our own, to all appearance, opposition, which, in at least one of its organs, will present what looks like the very antipodes to us. Our real opponents at heart will accept this simulated opposition as their own and will show us their cards. All of our newspapers will be of all possible complexions, aristocratic, republican, revolutionary, even anarchical, for so long, of course, as the constitution exists. Like the Indian idol Vishnu, they will have 100 hands, and every one of them will have a finger on any one of the public opinions as required. When a pulse quickens, these hands will lead opinion in the direction of our aims, for an excited patient loses all power of judgment and easily yields to suggestion. Those fools who will think they are repeating the opinion of a newspaper of their own camp will be repeating our opinion or any opinion that seems desirable for us. In the vain belief that they are following the organ of their party, they will in fact follow the flag which we hang out for them. In order to direct our newspaper militia in this sense, we must take a special and minute care in organizing this matter. Under the title of Central Department of the Press, we shall institute literary gatherings at which our agents will, without attracting attention, issue the orders and watchwords of the day. By discussing and controverting, but always superficially, without touching the essence of the matter, our organs will carry on a sham fight fusillade with the official newspapers solely for the purpose of giving occasion for us to express ourselves more fully than could well be done from the outset in official announcements, whenever, of course, that is to our advantage. Government will become proprietor of the majority of the journals. This will neutralize the injurious influence of the privately owned press and will put us in possession of a tremendous influence upon the public mind. If we give permits for 10 journals, we shall ourselves found 30, and so on in the same proportion. This, however, must in no wise be suspected by the public. For which reason all journals published by us will be of the most opposite in appearance, tendencies and opinions, thereby creating confidence in us and bringing over to us our quite unsuspicious opponents, who will thus fall into our trap and be rendered harmless. In the front rank will stand organs of an official character. They will always stand guard over our interests, and therefore their influence will be comparatively insignificant. In the second rank will be the semi-official organs whose part it will be to attract the tepid and indifferent. In the third rank we shall set up our own, to all appearance, opposition, which, in at least one of its organs, will present what looks like the very antipodes to us. Our real opponents at heart will accept this simulated opposition as their own and will show us their cards. All of our newspapers will be of all possible complexions, aristocratic, republican, revolutionary, even anarchical, for so long, of course, as the constitution exists. Like the Indian idol Vishnu, they will have 100 hands, and every one of them will have a finger on any one of the public opinions as required. When a pulse quickens, these hands will lead opinion in the direction of our aims, for an excited patient loses all power of judgment and easily yields to suggestion. Those fools who will think they are repeating the opinion of a newspaper of their own camp will be repeating our opinion or any opinion that seems desirable for us. In the vain belief that they are following the organ of their party, they will in fact follow the flag which we hang out for them. In order to direct our newspaper militia in this sense, we must take a special and minute care in organizing this matter. Under the title of Central Department of the Press, we shall institute literary gatherings at which our agents will, without attracting attention, issue the orders and watchwords of the day. By discussing and controverting, but always superficially, without touching the essence of the matter, our organs will carry on a sham fight fusillade with the official newspapers solely for the purpose of giving occasion for us to express ourselves more fully than could well be done from the outset in official announcements, whenever, of course, that is to our advantage. These attacks upon us will also serve another purpose, namely, that our subjects will be convinced of the existence of full freedom of speech and so give our agents an occasion to affirm that all organs which oppose us are empty babblers, since they are incapable of finding any substantial objections to our orders. Methods of organizations like these, imperceptible to the public eye but absolutely sure, are the best calculated to succeed in bringing the attention and the confidence of the public to the side of our government. Thanks to such methods, we shall be in a position, as from time to time may be required, to excite or to tranquillize the public mind on political questions, to persuade or to confuse, printing now truth, now lies, facts or their contradictions, according as they may be well or ill received, always very cautiously feeling our ground before stepping upon it. We shall have a sure triumph over our opponents, since they will not have at their disposition organs of the press in which they can give full and final expression to their views owing to the aforesaid methods of dealing with the press. We shall not even need to refute them except very superficially. Trial shots like these, fired by us in the third rank of our press, in case of need, will be energetically refuted by us in our semi-official organs. Even nowadays, already, to take only the French press, there are forms which reveal Masonic solidarity in acting on the watchword, all organs of the press are bound together by 40. Professional secrecy, like the augurs of old, not one of their numbers will give away the secrets of his sources of information unless it be resolved to make announcement to them. Not one journalist will venture to betray this secret, for not one of them is ever admitted to practice literature unless his whole past has some disgraceful sore or other. These sores would be immediately revealed. So long as they remain the secret of a few, the prestige of the journalist attracts the majority of the country, the mob follows after him with enthusiasm. Our calculations are especially extended to the provinces. It is indispensable for us to inflame there those hopes and impulses of the provinces. Naturally, the source of them will always be one and the same, ours. What we need is that, until such time as we are in plenitude of power, the capitals should find themselves stifled by the provincial opinion of the nation that is, of majority arranged by a agenta. What we need is that at the psychological moment the capitals should not be in a position to discuss an accomplished fact for the same reason, if for no other, that it has been accepted by the public opinion of majority in the provinces. Secrets of his sources of information unless it be resolved to make announcement to them. Not one journalist will venture to betray this secret, for not one of them is ever admitted to practice literature unless his whole past has some disgraceful sore or other. These sores would be immediately revealed. So long as they remain the secret of a few, the prestige of the journalist attracts the majority of the country, the mob follows after him with enthusiasm. Our calculations are especially extended to the provinces. It is indispensable for us to inflame there those hopes and impulses of the provinces. Naturally, the source of them will always be one and the same, ours. What we need is that, until such time as we are in plenitude of power, The capitals should find themselves stifled by the provincial opinion of the nation that is, of majority arranged by a agent. What we need is that at the psychological moment the capitals should not be in a position to discuss an accomplished fact for the same reason, if for no other, that it has been accepted by the public opinion of majority in the provinces. That we are in the period of a new regime transitional to that of our assumption of full sovereignty, we must not admit any revelations by the press or any form of public dishonesty. It is necessary that the new regime should be thought to have so perfectly contented everybody that even criminality has disappeared. Cases of the manifestation of criminality should remain known only to their victims and to chance witnesses, no more. Protocol number 13. The need for daily bread forces the Goyim to keep silence and be humble servants. Agents taken onto our press from among the Goyim will at our order discuss anything which it is inconvenient for us to issue directly in official documents, and we meanwhile, quietly amid the din of the discussion so raised, shall simply take and carry through such measures as we wish and then offer them to the public as an accomplished fact. No one will dare to demand the abrogation of a matter once settled, all the more so as it will be represented as an improvement. And immediately the press will distract the current of thought towards new questions. Have we not trained people always to be seeking something new? Into the discussions of these new questions will throw themselves those of the brainless dispensers of fortunes who are not able even now to understand that they have not the remotest conception about the matters which they undertake to discuss. Questions of the political are unattainable for any save those who have guided it already for many ages, the creators. From all this you will see that in securing the opinion of the mob we are only facilitating the working of our machinery, and you may remark that it is not for actions but for words issued on this or that question that we seem to seek approval. We are constantly making public declaration that we are guided in all our undertakings by the hope, joined to the conviction, that we are serving the common weal. In order to distract people who may be too troublesome from discussions of questions of the political, we are now putting forward what we allege to be new questions of the political, namely, questions of industry. In this sphere let them discuss themselves silly. The masses are agreed to remain inactive, to take a rest from what they suppose to be political activity, which we train them to in order to use them as a means of combating the Goy governments, only on condition of being found new employments, in which we are prescribing them something that looks like the same political object. In order that the masses themselves may not guess what they are about, we further distract them with amusements, games, pastimes, passions, people's palaces. Soon we shall begin through the press to propose competitions in art, in sport of all kinds. These interests will finally 41. Distract their minds from questions in which we should find ourselves compelled to oppose them. Growing more and more disaccustomed to reflect and form any opinions of their own, people will begin to talk in the same tone as we, because we alone shall be offering them new directions for thought. Of course, through such persons as will not be suspected of solidarity with us. The part played by liberals, utopian dreamers, will be finally played out when our government is acknowledged. Till such time they will continue to do us good service. Therefore we shall continue to direct their minds to all sorts of vain conceptions of fantastic theories, new and apparently progressive, for have we not with complete success turned the brainless heads of the Goyim with progress, till there is not among the Goyim one mind able to perceive that under this word lies a departure from truth in all cases where it is not a question of material inventions, for truth is one, and in it there is no place for progress. Progress, like a fallacious idea, serves to obscure truth so that none may know it except us, the chosen of God, its guardians. When we come into our kingdom, our orators will expound great problems which have turned humanity upside down in order to bring it at the end under our beneficent rule. Who will ever suspect then that all these peoples were stage managed by us according to a political plan which no one has so much as guessed at in the course of many centuries? Them. Growing more and more disaccustomed to reflect and form any opinions of their own, people will begin to talk in the same tone as we, because we alone shall be offering them new directions for thought. Of course, through such persons as will not be suspected of solidarity with us. The part played by liberals, utopian dreamers, will be finally played out when our government is acknowledged. Till such time they will continue to do us good service.